Hello, Grave Talks family. It's Tony Bruschi. If you love the Grave Talks, you'll probably love our other podcast if you're already not a subscriber of it, Real Ghost Stories Online. The following is a 15-minute preview of this week's Extra Podcast Person, or EPP, bonus episode of Real Ghost Stories Online. I hope you enjoy. Here to help. I'm here to help. I am. I'm saying that as me. I am here to help. In many cases, we have ghost stories where it seems spirits are there to help. They show up wanting to assist the living in some way, shape, or form to protect them, make their lives better, warn them, things of that nature. And that's, I would think, as a spirit, as a ghost, when that's your lot at that point in, is life the right term to use? Because it's in the afterlife, you're locked in the afterlife there to protect and help. That's, you know, I think that'd be fulfilling. I really do. As much as I joke about wanting to go around and screw with people and like knock things off counters, I probably would end up being the good deed ghost, where I'm there to help. I'm there to calm and you know, be there for someone in a positive way. Why? Because over the last handful of months, as we've been going through this very tumultuous point in our world, I've received so many letters, and I've received letters over the years, but I know it's been really tough, more tough than normal, certainly for most of us, over the last 5-6 months, that there's points where, you know, people are challenged. They are challenged down to their very core of, can I keep going on? And I'm not going to say anybody's name who's written me a letter or who sent me a message or something like that, so don't worry. But I do want to share the context to some of the letters that I've gotten in that made me take a step back and go, that's why we do this show. That's my reason. That's one of my reasons for my life, for my journey. My biggest one, I believe, is being a dad, you know, to my daughters and being a good husband to my wife, you know, personally. But my other one, you know, if you're to say professional, like what's your, you know, what is, you know, but it's so much more than professional because this job is so personal to me. So, I mean, I tie this right there just as closely as I do to other things in my world. Folks telling me just flat out, hey, if I didn't have this show to listen to, if I didn't get to hear your guys' voices every day, just laughing and joking and sharing these ghost stories that I love hearing and being able to relate to that, I don't know that I would have been able to get through what I'm going through. I'm getting that from every person in every lot of life, or it almost seems that way, from healthcare workers, you know, who are going through hell right now with masks that are, you know, just being destroyed or destroying their face because it's just, you know, it's on so much and they're the stress level that they're dealing with and fearing getting the virus to an officer who is so stressed out, who's just trying to do his job and just having hate thrown at them. To people who are going through very, very rough times, who feel very persecuted, but we are an escape for them. To just, you know, a mom at home that is stressed out and wondering what's going to go on here with the kids going back to school. You know, everybody's a person, everybody's a human, and everybody's going through some shit. I love doing this show, and I'm so happy that we can be an escape for you. And although most of us have never, ever met face to face, and we probably never will, I'm glad that we're able to be this close together through this, you know, mentally and emotionally through ghost stories, something we all very much enjoy. It's made me really think about what type of ghost I want to be. Do I want to be that one that's freaking people out, or be the one that's going to try and do what I'm doing in real life here? And bringing some comfort and peace. It's more fulfilling with a comfort and peace. Although I may at some point knock a water glass over or something if I'm haunting your house. Just saying.
It'd probably be my grandkids anyhow. So just, you know, just so you guys know. Thank you guys for the letters. Thank you guys for listening and allowing us to be a part of your life. Today on EPP bonus episode number 310 of Real Ghost Stories Online, we're going to hear about a young mother who's followed by spirits from house to house, eventually leading her to become a paranormal investigator. And what do you do when your land that your neighborhood is built on is a site of a lot of sadness and drama? Sadness that lives on to this day. Then a woman is given a vision of the future. A vision that involves a home invasion that her deceased loved ones want her to be prepared for. It's a good episode. EPP 310 of Real Ghost Stories Online. My name's Tony Bruschi. Stay with us. When you have a haunting, when you have an experience with the dead for the first time, you have to wonder, when will this end? Is this going to be an ongoing thing? Is this going to be just something that happens in my house? Or is this something more? Is this something where something has been opened in me? A skill has been unlocked to sense the dead? Maybe not everybody thinks that way, but I do. It does make me wonder that. And in some cases, with some folks, that's precisely what happens. It's like a door has been opened and suddenly they're able to sense things, people, spirits, in all different places, not just their home alone. Almost like a filter has been lifted. That is precisely what happens in our next story. Young woman comes a young mother, and through all of that process of just being a young woman and then becoming a mother and then moving around a bit and all of that, that's the point in her life where she starts experiencing hauntings and spirits wherever she goes. Take a listen. My name is Christy, and I live in Annapolis, Maryland. I love listening to podcasts and wanted to share my story as well. I have not believed in ghosts, but always needed to see for myself to completely feel comfortable in my belief. Since I've been younger, I can honestly say I would always get a bad feeling and start crying for no apparent reason. And within a day, I would be told of someone close who had died. In my early 20s, I had this occur only to be told my younger cousin Kelly was killed in a car accident a few days before Thanksgiving of 1997. It was hard enough for me to comprehend, and it really hit me hard. I remember lying in bed questioning God, questioning life, until I would fall asleep. About a week after her funeral, I had a very vivid dream of me walking on the second floor of the Marley Station Mall. And as I'm passing the elevator, the door opens and out walks my cousin Kelly. I look at her in disbelief because even in my dream, I knew she was gone. And I called her name. She looked over at me and said, "Hey." I began to stutter on what I wanted to say, and she begins to tell me, "Tell my family I said hi, that I'm fine." And I woke up, remembering everything down to the clothes she was wearing. Knowing that her passing hit my aunt and uncle and her older sister hard, I could not get up the nerve to tell them until years later. When I was in my mid-20s, my son at the time was 5 years old, and we finally found a place that we could afford to move on a sod farm in Annapolis. The house, we were told, was an old chicken house that was turned into a small house that they rented out, so the main bedroom had a large window that overlooked the living room and a small window that was enclosed when the kitchen was built. It had plenty of character, but it was a place we called home. Underneath the window of the main bedroom and where we placed our TV and on the opposite wall was where we had our sofa. About 6 months into renting, my boyfriend at the time and I were sitting on the couch and my son was lying on the floor next to the couch coloring. On top of the TV sat two crystal votives, which on this night decided to launch itself off the TV and land in front of my son. He looked at us as we looked at him in shock. I went over and picked off the votive. We walked over to the TV, looking at the top of the TV to see if the candle slid off in any type of way, but judging by the dust circles, the candle did not slide. I placed the candle back on the TV, and we just brushed it off and joked that it was the ghost chickens. We shared our story with my boyfriend's brother, who looked at us as we were all three losing our minds. A week later, my boyfriend's brother had stayed over at our house and slept on the couch. He calls me at work, freaking out, and said, "I believe you about the candle now, because it just came flying at me." It never happened again, and we were there for at least a year more. After living at the chicken house, I was able to buy my first home in Arnold, Maryland. An employee that worked at the same company as I had transferred out of state a few years before, and he was renting out his house in Arnold. He was looking into selling his house, which was a small two-bedroom duplex in a small cul-de-sac where there was only about four duplex homes. The current renters were just moving out because the husband had died due to a brain tumor. Before I moved in, I was told by the prior owners of the husband's situation and found out that a family member of mine knew him before he had his brain tumor, and she had hung out with him a few times with her infant daughter. The husband's name was Henry, and she shared this house with his wife and his young daughter. At a certain point in his illness, he was wheelchair-bound, so the area church had built a wheelchair ramp outside the back door that went onto the large back deck. I arranged with the prior owner to clean out the house and repaint for a discount price. Our first day in the house, it smelled of stale smoke, and they left a lot of stuff behind. I found clothes still in the dryer, including a child's blanket, clothes in the closet, especially clothing belonging to Henry, along with sympathy cards, baby pictures, and a box full of ties that were cut in half. So I had my cousin track down his wife, only to find out she was living with Henry's best friend and had given her daughter to her mother-in-law to raise. So I was able to give Henry's mother a lot of the little girl's belongings and Henry's. I never shared with my son that Henry had died in the house, nor did I tell him anything about what he looked like, including his race. Shortly after we got things cleaned up and settled in, we started hearing a noise. And the only way I can describe it is that it sounded like a rubber-handed screwdriver hitting the floor and the tip bouncing. We didn't think much of it and brushed it off just as a new house noise. Over time, it would happen more and more, sometimes very faint and sometimes loud enough to wake us. One morning, my son came to me and said, "Mom, I saw a black man walking down the hallway last night." I said, "Really?" I did not know how to answer. So I sat silently, and he said it again. He didn't seem too scared, so he began to tell me about Henry. He actually thought it was kind of cool. Our first Halloween at the house, my cousin, who knew Henry a while back, brought her daughter over for trick-or-treating, which at this time, her daughter was now 5 years old. I took a picture of her standing in the kitchen doorway in her costume. I had the pictures printed out about a week or so later and noticed this white light that blurred out most of her daughter's picture. I thought it was a little odd since the kitchen light was off and the only light in my living room was a halogen lamp in the far corner on the opposite side of the room. But I wrote it off as just a creepy picture. I needed to jump back for a second and let you know when we first moved in June, the yard was fenced in on both sides, but not the back. So my father had put a fence up so our dog could have space to run. Around 4 months after living there, I see a strange marking in the fence or discoloration. At some time, I noticed that the marking now resembled a cross. The next summer, my son asked if we could take down the wheelchair ramp since he and a few of his friends, as well as our dog, would sometimes trip over it going out the back door, so I agreed. He said he wanted to do it himself, so I let him tear it up. That night, my son starts yelling, "Mom, Mom, Mom," from his bedroom. I woke up and said, "What?" He said, "My bed is shaking." I kind of just said, "It's probably the dog leaning against the base of the bedpost scratching." My son slept in a loft bed. I tried going back to sleep, and he runs into my room and says, "No, Mom, it was shaking like this." He starts pulling on my bed harshly. And that's where we're going to pause our preview portion of this week's EPP bonus episode of Real Ghost Stories Online. If you would like to hear the rest of this episode and to get yourself access to all 310 bonus episodes, become an extra podcast person. That's how we support the show. That's how we've always done this show. Without you guys' support, this thing does not exist as we go into our
Seventh year, eighth year, I'm losing track. $5 a month is all it is to me, an extra podcast person. That's what keeps us on the air. This is my job. This is what I do for a living every single day. So that's how we keep it afloat. $5 a month gets you access to all the bonus episodes, advanced episodes of the show. You get that too. You also get our ebook, you get our audiobook, and other extras throughout the year. Sign up at ghostpodcast.com or patreon.com/realghoststories. Get all those extras in addition to all the free content that we put out all week long. You'll love the extras. Some of our best ghost stories are right there for you. Check it out. Ghostpodcast.com or patreon.com/realghoststories. Until next time, from all of us at Real Ghost Stories Online, I'm Tony Bruschi. Thanks for listening.